Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, November 28th, 2021. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, The Lion's Den, Part 7 of our Living in Babylon series. Our text comes to us from Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. And now, Pastor Zoni.
I always feel it's good to be in the house of the Lord and to say that. The Lord is, speaks to our hearts and lives in so many different ways. Well, this is the last Sunday of November, and I will be finishing my remarks in the book of Daniel. We'll see what the Lord does for us as we go into the month of December. Gee, Christmas is here, isn't it? Yes, thank you very much for your support. Okay, Daniel chapter 6 is what we're looking at, and we're going to go through the chapter, but we're going to read only the first 12 verses. So we can have that on the screen. I would appreciate it very much at this time. It's a very interesting chapter, and I think all of us have heard the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And I like to present to you the possibilities that some of us sometimes are very next to, if not in, a lion's den. So it says, as it goes, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. After this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so, the original Watergate. They could find no corruption in him, sorry, it's not the original, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, this man said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. There you go. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then this man went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. And verse 12 says, so they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. May God bless the reading of his word. Well, simply put, this morning, I want to address the whole concept of living in a lion's den without being eaten up. Because, believe it or not, all of us will face lion's dens in our life. You may be facing one today. In the passage that we read and through this whole chapter, we find five characteristics that totally prepare Daniel and distinguish Daniel so that no matter what happened, he was not devoured by the lions. And I would ask you to consider in your own heart whether those characteristics are in your life, or how much have they developed in your life, or are they well developed? Because let me just say to you that sooner or later, you're going to have trials in your life, and you're going to find yourself in the lion's den. You're going to find yourself surrounded by those who want to eat you up alive. Okay, here we go. The first thing I find is that this man, Daniel, through his lifetime, worked very hard, and he kept a clean life in his business. You know, Scripture says that whatever we do, we must do for the glory of God. Whatever you do in whatever work you have, we must do it for the glory of God. We have employers, but in reality, we work for the Lord. The Lord is the one who looks and sees how we do and what we don't know. Verse 4 says, "And this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for changes against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They couldn't find no corruption in him." And that's the value of a good life, a Christian life, I may say, a value of hard work and a clean life. When you are a Christian, we'd hope and pray, you will understand that you're expected to live a right life and to do what is right and proper. Christians should not do mediocre work. Christians should not be employed and do, do a lousy job just because you're a Christian. You should excel whatever you are. You have to have an attitude in your heart that whatever you're doing it for the Lord. They tell the story about this man who worked for a Greyhound buses, and that he would work at night loading the buses and working in that area of transportation. And at the same time, there were others who were working with him that were goofing off all night long. They were playing video games, they were taking special naps, and they let him, we'll call him Luther, do all the work. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that. I know I have. I remember working for what is now Vaughn's, used to be Safeway in those days, a meat warehouse. I worked harder than anybody else, and so they took advantage of my willingness to work. They thought I was just simply working to get brownie points, but no, I was just working because that was my job. And so the story goes on that the people around him would get resentful because he was doing so much work. But at the same time, they were getting resentful, they were slopping off and not doing their work, not doing their share. A few weeks afterwards, according to the story, every lazy guy, every lazy bones was fired. Because they found out, they did not know this, but they found out that there was a secret window up there and a camera. And they were watching people working. And they saw the people who were goofing off, and those who were goofing off were fired. And the one who was working got a raise. I think this is what it's all about in our life. You and I need to be the best workers wherever you are. You must be the best. You must excel wherever you are. Not cutting corners. Not finding any corruption in your life, in the hours that you put in. Someone said one time that Daniel could have been a full-time prophet like Jeremiah or Isaiah. But God, in his wisdom, prepared him and shaped him so that he would be an administrator. Think of it. Sometimes we think that to be a man of God or a woman of God, you have to be in formal ministry, like a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist. Not so. God called you to work there. And where you are is God's call in your life. And you are affecting people in ways that no minister, no missionary, no evangelist can, because you're there. In many ways, Daniel proves so truthfully that we are the salt of the earth. And salt needs to be used in places of corruption so that it won't get corrupted. We are the light of the world. We should be where there is darkness so that we can shine the truth. The Bible says that those who follow the Lord will suffer persecution. And we suffer persecution, but we're in the right spot. The buffeting of the enemy, the difficulties at work, it just simply means that you're doing your job. It simply means that you are salt and light. And that though things may go wrong, God is always going to be there. So I'd like for you to think and consider whatever you're doing in the world today as a ministry unto the Lord, and that you're doing what God wants you to do, because that's where he placed you. See, Daniel did just that. He served God where he was, and he was blessed as an administrator, and he was governing the entire Babylonian Empire. And then he entered into the Medes and Persians, and he was going to set up in front of all of that as well. It was an incredible man, a man of great expertise, a God who used him in ways in which we can't even imagine. Well, we're talking about him today, aren't we? And it's in the pages of Scripture. So the first thing that I would like to mention to you about Daniel in the lion's den is that he did not get devoured because first and foremost, he worked hard. He kept his life clean. He had a good testimony. He did his job. Second thing, he wasn't surprised by opposition. He really wasn't surprised. Daniel knew it was coming. Sometimes we have the wrong idea about life in the Christian world. We think that we come to Christ and all of our, quote, problems have been resolved, which means I will never have a difficulty or an issue that normal people have. Let me tell you, all of us go through issues in life. And you and I need to be not surprised when there's opposition to our witness, opposition to our lifestyle, opposition to stand up and be counted for the Lord. Some of us think it's, oh, horrible, the devil. No, it's not the devil. It's God working in you and God working through you in a really bad environment that desperately needs your witness. Undoubtedly, as we have read the scriptures, Daniel knew all the plans of his enemies. Of course he did. He had many friends in high places. They were telling him, hey, they're combing through all your record, man. They're trying to find out if you cheated. They really want to know whether or not, you're corrupt. He knew the enemies wanted to get him, and so they were going through everything. And don't you be surprised when people try to find corruption in your life and in your heart. And I want you to know that lions don't only live in dens. Lions, they live in offices. And they live in neighborhoods. And they live in the streets. They live in our homes. I hate to tell you this, but sometimes they even live in the church. That's right. So Jesus said, remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. They persecuted me. They will persecute you also. So don't feel like if something's going wrong and people are persecuting you or thinking or talking bad things about you, that it's God abandoning you. No, you're just in the right spot. Hallelujah. Yeah, I don't think you're saying hallelujah with any deep conviction. But yeah. Count it all joy when you go through trials. Because God is working in your life. And your life is counting for something. You're doing what God wants you to do. I know. When I was young, I remember slightly when I was young, the last thing I thought was that suffering was good, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me, to go through those trials and those difficulties and those obstacles and for people to look to see if I would cut corners, if I would cheat. Yeah, I did everything I could not to do that. To the best of my knowledge, I stayed clean as much as I could. The Bible says, woe to He says, woe unto you if all men speak well of you. Because you see, if everybody says good things about you, it means that you got some issues. You are something to everybody. It means you're nothing to anybody. There's got to be that controversy. There's got to be that edge about you that when people see you, they say, oh, he's a Christian. Oh, she's a Christian. But when everyone says, oh, wonderful, oh, wonderful. Oh, even when the devil rejoices to see you, I think you've got a problem. We're going to call her Jan. And Jan was a friend. We were eating in a Chinese restaurant. And the waiter went to serve them and set some chopsticks in their places. And Jan said, no, he says, I don't believe in that. I'm an environmentalist. And I don't approve of destroying bamboos, forests, just to throw away utensils. And so everybody said, wow, look at this person. And then all of a sudden, Jan reaches into her purse and pulls out chopsticks of her own. And the waiter said, oh, wonderful chopsticks. They're ivory, aren't they? So easy to be critical of others. So easy to put people down. But the truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, is that we have to understand that we will be spoken badly and we will have some sort of reprisal for a witness for the Lord. When the snoops try to find something on Daniel, and when the auditors got through and looking at all the investigations, and when they checked the document shredder and they looked at all his travel logs, and they went into Facebook and they went into all those wonderful dynamic sources of information, they couldn't find anything really wrong. He had not misused the post office. He didn't write any hot checks. He didn't sexually harass anybody in the office. He was not involved in the river development scandal. You guys, something else. Five, no bribes, no cover-ups, no scandal. Kind of a boring life, you would say, for today's standards. It's not a day that we turn on the television that we don't see something going wrong. But see, this man was faithful. That's what I'm trying to get at. He was faithful. He was found to be faithful. There was no corruption in his heart. He did his job. They found him so diligent. They found him so well put together that all they could say was, whoa, we got to now make up a law so we can get rid of him. That's how it should be for you and me. That when they look at you and look at the record that we're doing, they look at the job that we're doing, we'll be squeaky clean. That we have a testimony that we say, here at the job, I'm a Christian and I live like a Christian. They're going to try to find something wrong with you. And I know we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when you put your best foot forward and you trust God, you should have a clean record. No cheating. No lying. Clean. 8 hours of work. 8 hours of pay. Not 7.5, but 8. Don't cheat. Don't find a way to get, you know. I remember one brother in the church. Brother Zoni, we were very young. We were living in Van Nuys at that time. And he's with the Lord now. And Brother Chavoy, I can mention his name. And he came to our church a couple of times, years after his wife had passed away, and he was up in age. And I remember he would say to me, am I doing this right? Am I doing this wrong?